is the time. Now is the time. I like to share, starting in Proverbs chapter, chapter 27. Proverbs 27, verse 1. It's important that we realize that we should be careful to say, I will do this and I'll do that. Because really, there is no guarantee of tomorrow. Today is the day that we should be living for the Lord. Every day, of course, that comes and the Lord gives us. I was talking with the pastor and I said, he and I were saying, we're looking forward to having new bodies. Now it's time to do it while you're young. Well, you still can. I mean, if you're here and you're 99, you're 99 years young because our future is ahead of us. But even I'll be turning 55 this week, and sometimes my age is creeping up on my bones, and some things, like he was saying, starting to click. My knee's starting to click, my back's starting to click. How do you say that, Pastor? I'm starting to feel the pain of aging. And I'm looking forward to having a new body one day. But in the meantime, we need to be busy serving the Lord. Now is the time. It says here in Proverbs 27, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we continue on in the word of God this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. Bless this congregation. Bless the pastor. And we thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness, supporting and helping us in the work. Because of their part, they'll have part in the souls that come to know you. And we thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness in prayer and supporting us. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share your word. We ask, Lord, that you'd help us all to be more involved in that mission of reaching others for Christ and building them up in the Lord. We just ask, Lord, your will be done in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is the day. Now is the time. And I like to share a lot of times, the people that don't know, that there are people who say, well, you can do this tomorrow. I'll do that. I remember when we were in Mexico City, learning the language and the process. My wife was pregnant. Our youngest son was born 6 weeks early. And we had to go to Mexico City with our son. In the process of transporting him, they said his heart stopped and they restarted it. But the doctor, after three operations, said, I guarantee you can take your son home. We were concerned that we wouldn't have that opportunity. Well, he was getting better, but one night after they had done the tracheostomy, it stopped up and his heart stopped. They got it started, but by that time he had been brain dead. And the Lord saw fit to take my son, Isaac Paul, home to be with him. It's not guaranteed. Life is not guaranteed. Tomorrow is not guaranteed for anybody. And we need to be realizing that our life is in the Lord's hands and that we should be serving him now. Now's the time. Now, it was a hard time for us, my wife and I. And they say 50% of marriages break up after a loss of a baby or a child. But I thank the Lord that we didn't break up. In fact, the following year, we were able to adopt. You saw my picture of Esther, our daughter, and now she's married to a Peruvian pastor. We just thank the Lord that the Lord provided for her in her life. But we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Today is the day. Today, now is the time. Now is the time. If by chance there's a young person or someone here that is not yet in the faith, now is the best time to be saved, too. That's one thing that we emphasize in our ministry, that we try to give the opportunity to everybody to know the Lord Jesus Christ and not to delay. Of course, we don't push it. The Holy Spirit is the one who wins souls, but we try to present the gospel, his love, to all peoples, Jew, Gentile alike. It says in, I was looking in 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, For he saith, I have heard thee in an accepted time. In the day of salvation I have secured thee. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to be saved. Just like my son, who the Lord saw fit to take home, we don't have guarantee tomorrow. Today is the best day to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is the best time to be saved. Tomorrow may be too late. If I had died in an airplane crash in 1970 in July, May 29th on Labor Day, Memorial Day, actually, it is Memorial Day. If I had died in the airplane crash, all I had was religion. I didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. It was a year afterwards that I got saved. And I just thank the Lord to let me live through a broken vertebrae, broken legs, and I didn't die in an airplane crash because I wasn't prepared to go out into eternity. I didn't have Jesus in my heart. I didn't have Him as my Savior. Now is the time also for all of us as Christians to be participants in the Great Commission, the command to go out and evangelize. I know that we can't all be missionaries. So obviously, you are here and being faithful in your area, but I do believe we all have a part. We all have a part of this Great Commission. And I'd like to share a little bit from Acts 1:8 this morning. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto all to the uttermost parts of the earth." It says both. It means I believe at least simultaneously you can be working in your Jerusalem. Where is your Jerusalem? It's right here in this area. It's your Jerusalem. And then God wants you to be working where you work, farther away. Maybe far away is Garrettsville. From here, it's not that far away. Actually, that's Judea. Maybe even farther away would be Samaria. Be a little farther away. I don't know. Out of state. And then it says the uttermost parts of the world. Now, all of us can go to the uttermost parts of the world. That's what you're doing. You're supporting missionaries to the uttermost parts of the world. But I believe we can be doing that simultaneously, supporting missionaries, and you're doing that. You're supporting five missionaries, but you can be witnesses in your Jerusalem, in your Judea, and in your Samaria, a little farther out, in different ministries you can be involved in. And I think today is the time to be winning people to the Lord. And say that we're all going to be pastors or evangelists or missionaries, but it does say that we are to be what? Witnesses. Lights. The Bible says in another part in Matthew says that we are to be light of the world. The Bible says that we should be the salt of the earth. And what does salt do? Salt does gives flavor, and salt is preserving. And America needs more preserving by the word of God, by people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. In Argentina, there was this one lady who came, and we were working her life, trying to convince her to follow the Lord. But she wanted us to get involved in politics. And I said, no, we work from the inside out. Share the Lord Jesus Christ, and then there's a change. We can't go out and change the world politically. We can see what the world's in a mess politically. And politics has never converted anybody to get them ready and made them better. And not one politician has made anybody ready for heaven. Now, there may be some better or maybe some worse politicians out there. I'm not here this morning to take sides, but I know that we represent Jesus Christ. In Argentina, we represent our Lord Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors for Him. Just forget about all those politics and just pray. And the Lord will pray for your country, pray for our leaders. The Bible does command us to do that. But today is a time to be a witness for Jesus Christ where you are. Next point. Today, now is a time to be obedient to Christ's new commandment. Now, I believe all of us need to be practicing more so. And when I preach the message, and people say, "You're preaching at me, Pastor." When I preach at the gospel out there or preach the Bible, there's three fingers coming this way. So I'm just preaching what the Lord has given me, and it hits me too. It says right here in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." I believe today the people will know that you are a true Christian if you love them. Okay, I wonder what that was. If we love one another, the world will say, "There's a real Christian." If we can just love one another in our own church here, the world will say, "Oh, I like to have what he has, or I like to have what she has," because there's real love in their life. It's important that we, as Christians, love our families, love our wives. The Bible says we're commanded to love the wife, the husband. But if we can just love one another in the church, the people will look at us and say, "There's a real Christian." We need to be loving one another. The Bible also commands us to love our neighbor, and we don't maybe not even know your neighbor that well. Love your neighbor. Bible also commands us what? To love our enemies. What's the best way to change an enemy to a friend is come share them with Christ with them. Now, those are hard things to do, but the Lord says we should be loving one another in these days, these hard days, when things are getting us depressed and getting us down. We should be putting Christ first in our life and loving one another. Love is, as a saying goes, you can give without loving. I'm getting backwards here. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we need to be giving, showing forth love. It's important that we, as Christians, love one another. I believe also today, another point, we should live a sanctified life. Now, you've heard people that say sanctified and perfect. I don't believe that the Bible teaches that we can be sanctified perfectly without sin. There are people that once you get sanctified, you're no longer going to sin. But if we live in a fleshly body, we're going to always have that problem of having to confess our sin on a daily basis. We're sinners. But I believe we can do an effort to set ourselves apart from some of the practices of the world. Practice of the world today, they say, just live for all the gusto, all the life, and just do what pleases you, pleases your flesh. The Bible doesn't teach us that. The Bible teaches us that we're going to face some persecution for our faith in Christ. But the Bible says that we should be trying to live a holy life. Let's turn in 1 Peter. I'm getting a dry mouth here. 1 Peter. One in verse 15. 1 Peter 1:15 says, But as he which called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. For it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, I don't believe that we can become holy like God is. I believe the closest we'll be holy to God is when one day Christ comes in the rapture and we get a new body, get converted. Then we'll be without the sinful body. Then we can live completely holy lives for the Lord Jesus Christ and his presence. But we should be trying to separate ourselves from this world system and not let the things of television, I don't know how many things you watch on television or if you do, but there's so many things that can affect us. Our way of thinking. We should try to maybe even turn off some of those things that would help us be more holy. Instead of getting watching some things on television, just open this book and get more in touch with God by reading his word. Live a sanctified life. Say, I no longer want to do the things of the past. I want to serve the Lord and be more active in your local church. Come talk to the pastor. He'll find something for you to do. I know there's a lot of things you can do to be more involved and be more sanctified. Be holy as God is holy. I believe, too, in these days, we get caught up on our hobbies and things that are not sinful and such. There's a lot of things in the world that, you know, are okay. They're not against God's word. But if we allow those little things to be things in our life that are keeping us out of the church, that could be a bad thing. And this, looking where we're in Peter, 1 Peter 2:5 says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, let's just stop right there. We are called lively stones. Now, we're lively stones. That's because we have the Holy Spirit in our that resides in us. And we're built on what? On the solid rock. We're lively stones built on a solid rock. It's talking about the Church of Christ. We're lively stones. And I believe that as lively stones, we should be attending the church. I mean, the pastor here is leading his congregation. Jesus Christ is the foundation of our... But once in a while, these in the building, let's just put this church building in the building itself. We know that the church is not the building. It's people. Jesus is the foundation, and we're lively stones. But how often do you have to do work on this building? Every once in a while, the building needs to have some kind of repair. Just watching, was it one of us driving the stakes in the driveway? I was watching Kevin maintaining that that when the snow comes and the plows come through here, they don't rip out all your grass and throw your gravel into your yard. You have to make maintenance in this building. I've seen improvements since last time I was here in the church. You had to make maintenance on this building. The lively church, lively stones once in a while, needs some repair, needs some maintenance on maybe someone's life. This little stone here with this needs some mortar, needs some attention. I'm saying that we need to be attending the needs of the church, one another. If you see a brother or sister in need spiritually, exhort them, encourage them, tell the pastor, and you know, pray for one another. Edify the saints. We're to be a godly example and to be helping build up this church. It's only human nature to think of oneself. The Bible says that we are have no problem loving our own bodies. And we have a problem sometimes loving your spouse, but we also have to think about the needs of the church, the individual in the building, the real lively church, one another in the church of Christ. So one of the days, now we need to be attending the needs of the church. In these latter days, people also will take note and say, here's a real Christian that cares about a brother in the church. And I believe, finishing up here, that we should be living humbly before God and man. Humble. I believe today that we will come across to people that don't understand our faith. Sometimes we come across and we say, I know the Lord. And we'll come across with a little bit of pride. And we'll say, this man, and they'll be turned off to our way of witnessing because maybe there'll be just a little bit of pride in our life. We're good in Christ. And we're nothing. Without Christ, we are nothing. We are absolutely nothing without Jesus Christ. And we have to be careful with our pride. And I think in our Christian lives, we have a tendency to have that weakness of having pride come up and be a stumbling block in the lives, maybe of a brother, or maybe even be a stumbling block who's lost person. Let's look in James. James 4, 6 through 10. And I believe today, as Christians, we need to be doing our very best not to let pride come into our life. And I can't stand up here and say, I'm humble. You're up here start bragging about how humble you are. What happens? Am I humble? No. It's like I remember my little sister. We were going to visit my grandmother's house, and my brothers were saying, I can do this better than you can, and they were bragging about something, and she says, I never brag. I said, what are you doing right now? When a person brags about not bragging, they're bragging. And when a person who says, I'm humble, they're not humble. We as Christians, we don't see it. Sometimes sneak in. Pride will sneak in our lives, and we have to humble ourselves. My wife and I knew a young lady, a good lady, but she had this little opinion that she had the gift of criticism. I don't find that in the Bible anywhere. I don't find that gift of God. She thought it was her job to humble people. She says, I have the gift of criticism. I said, where do you find that in the Bible? But the Bible says that we are to humble ourselves. It's not to be someone else apply humbling you, or you shouldn't be around humbling them, being critical. It was kind of comical. But it's kind of sad because she actually believed that she had the gift of criticism. And it might be a different way of, maybe she had the gift of discernment or something like that, but there is no gift of criticism in the Bible, and we have to be careful that we humble ourselves before God and to draw nigh to Him. Let's look in James 4, 6. It says, but He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. The Bible says that we should humble ourselves before the Lord, ourselves, not humble somebody else. And then in due time, God will exalt us. It's not time for us to be exalting ourselves. It's not time to be humbling others. It's time that we humble ourselves before the Lord. These days are short. We need to serve the Lord now. Be sure that you really do have a relationship as a saved son of God. Be involved in the Great Commission, being a witness where you are, where you work. Be involved in missions, and I know this church is. Show that you are a true believer, that you really do love the Lord and love one another in the church. Sanctify, live a holy life. Separate yourself from the world's ways, sinful ways and fleshly ways. Edify the saints. Look around the needs of your own congregation. Your pastor always has his eyes open to the needs of the people. Maybe we as Christians ourselves need to be helping in the need of maintaining the needs of the congregation. Lively stones, be a good example. Live humbly before your God. Now is the time to do these things. Now is the time. Finishing up with verses in 1 Peter 5:5-6 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Verse 6, "Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." It's now is the time to be realizing that we, fleshly creatures, even though we have the Lord Jesus Christ, may need to make some modifications in our lifestyles to do more for him. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Now is the time to decide to change for his honor and glory, for the benefit of the church, that more souls to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ by our good example. I'd like to turn over to the pastor at this time. Thank you, Pastor.
As the worship team's coming forward, I want to maybe, Jack and Jack, if you guys would get the offering baskets. We'd like to take an offering for DA and for his ministry. You know, we can't all go over to Argentina, but we can be part of what's happening over there. So, as we stand here and worship in just a minute, they pass the offering basket. We'd like to bless their ministry. Amen.
Follow you all of my days. And I will follow you all of my days. I will follow you all of my days. And step by step you lead me. And I will follow you all of my days.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for D.A. and his family that are doing that work for you over in Argentina. We pray your grace and blessings upon them, your safety with them, to just be with them at all times, Father, to anoint their work. We thank you for this day. We go this day, Father, rejoicing in you, proclaiming your word. We ask that your angels encamp about all here this day that protect and watch over as we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Don't forget Tuesday night at our house. If you need prayer, please feel free to come forward.